Hi, Tobias Carlisle here. I've launched a new firm called Acquirers Funds. We implement the Acquirers Multiple in a highly liquid, tax-efficient, and capital-efficient way. If you'd like to learn more, go to acquirersfunds.com. Let's get underway. Hi, I'm Tobias Carlisle. This is the Acquirers Podcast. This is a new initiative called Acquirers Active. We talk to high conviction investors, concentrated longs, activists, and short sellers. First conversation in our new series is with Sam Adrangi of Kerrisdale Capital.
Tobias Carlisle is the founder and principal of Acquirers Funds. For regulatory reasons, he will not discuss any of the Acquirers Funds on this podcast. All opinions expressed by podcast participants are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of Acquirers Funds or affiliates. For more information, visit acquirersfunds.com.
Sam and I have known each other.
This is the first conversation. That's a lot of pressure on us.
Well, I thought I'd get someone who I'd spoken to. We've both been looking at NetNets 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I looked at that shocking that was the first email that went between us was sometime in 2009. Mm. The position we're going to discuss today is iRhythm, the ticker's IRTC. It's one that, in the interest of full disclosure, my firm is also short. Could you take us through, and he's joined by David Cohen, could you take us through the business of iRhythm and your thesis?
Sure. So iRhythm operates in the cardiac monitoring space. I think if you go back, 10, 20 years ago, in order to diagnose irregular arrhythmias, doctors would take patients and they'd put on what was called a halter. Traditional halter system, and essentially with these halters, there were these clunky patchwork of wires and nodes that a patient would wear over the course of 48 hours, and during those 48 hours, they would be diagnosed. The machine or the device, medical device, would read the arrhythmias. And, the doctor would then, take the results and provide the right diagnosis. One of the problems there was that this was just a very bulky contraption. You couldn't exercise with it. You couldn't shower with it. A lot of patients would want to remove them. And so iRhythm was the first company that, came up with the concept of a much smaller patch that patients would wear in order to not have to deal with the bulkiness of the traditional halter. And over the past few years, this has continued to get dramatic support among doctors and cardiologists, and it's now become the standard of care in many cases in order to detect arrhythmias. The reason we're short iRhythm is just simply that they're getting paid too much under the reimbursement regime. So initially, when medical device companies come up with new devices, they get an experimental temporary code. And the rationale behind that is that the government can't go around doing surveys among its doctors to come up with an appropriate pricing schedule for every new medical device that comes onto the scene. But over time, to the extent that a device such as iRhythm Zio Patch gets widespread support, there's a transition from these temporary codes to permanent codes. And oftentimes when that occurs, to the extent the temporary codes have been too high, because the company has maybe gamed the system originally in terms of picking the right contractor canvassing a number of CMS contractors for pricing and then putting its center in the one state with the contractor that provides its highest pricing. Ultimately, when you go from a temporary code to a permanent code, that all goes away, and pricing comes more into line with a variety of variables that in many cases just result in lower permanent pricing codes relative to the temporary pricing code that, the medical device company had originally. And, we think this is the case with iRhythm. It's happened with other businesses. And, I think when that occurs, this is a single product medical device company. It's really the Zio patch that drives its revenue. And when you see that transition from temporary to permanent, I think you get just a dramatic reduction in pricing. This is also a business that's just not profitable right now. And so I think just from a valuation perspective, it's not worth $1.5-2 billion, where it's trading. It's sort of worth a lot less in our mind.
What's the competition like in that industry?
Yeah, so competition's heating up. I mean, right now the Zio patch is close to 100% market share. I mean, that's starting to go away as competitors have been gaining steam over the past year or two. But within sort of the cardiac monitoring patch space, the Zio has been the dominant player. But there's no real IP protection around what it does. From conversations with former, with other industry experts, I think it's been very possible for other competitors to come up with competitive products that essentially do the same thing. And particularly, Bardy Diagnostics, which is founded by, a bit of a legend in the cardiac monitoring space, has come up with a very competitive patch and has continued to gain market share and been winning awards left and right. And, we're not saying that sort of Bardy is going to come back and, come out and take over the market from the Zio. But to the extent it's able to get 10, 20, 30, 40% on the market, that's a competitive threat that compounds the problems that the Zio is facing on the reimbursement side.
So when do you see the reimbursement issues impacting the company, and what impact do you think that will have?
Yeah, well, I think we're seeing this thesis play out right now. When we originally came out with our report, it was a prediction that this transition from a permanent code to a temporary code was on the horizon. But just last week, the September agenda for the AMA's CPT panel came out. And one of the topics on it was this reassessment and this just sort of transition from a permanent code for the codes that cover Zio's patch. The transition from a permanent code to a temporary code. So
temporary to permanent.
So they released earnings yesterday, I think, and so they looked like they had pretty healthy revenue growth. But the problem, it looks like from my perspective, is a $2 billion market capitalization company trading at something in the order of 10 times plus sales on their forecasted revenues of 212 for the full year. Where do you see the valuation? And how long do you think it'll take to play out?
Yes, I mean, we think that the revenue cut could be on the order of 50%. Currently the Novitas contractor, CMS contractor that accounts for the vast majority of the Zio revenue is paying, on the order of $300 per procedure. And, we think that can go down based on the things that sort of go into assessing what a permanent code should look like, that can go down to $150. And so, again, at its current scale, the Zio is not profitable, or iRhythm is not profitable. When you see a reimbursement rate cut of potentially 50%, and in our mind at least 30%, it just doesn't just justify a $2 billion valuation for this business.
So the stock price today, just blanking it at the moment. What is it today?
It's like, I think the last trade before this conversation was around $83.
83?
Yeah.
And so you see it somewhere in the 40s by the time this is all said and done.
I think that's totally fair, And that's still close to $1 billion market cap for a business that, over the course of our research, we got the sense that other players just have decided, they've looked at this space and ultimately they've looked past, what the industry is going to look like when you transition to a permanent code. And I think, a lot of other players have just viewed as a very low margin business down the line. So I'm not sure $1 billion market cap is justified ultimately. That's still 50% below where it's currently trading.
Just to sum up, gents, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Dave?
No, I think, you know, the in general, the earnings story has been, you know, beat and raise, and they've been pretty good about it. If you look at the details on the Qs, you see that, you know, the beat and raises have not actually come from, it doesn't seem like they've come from volume growth. It seems like they've come from pricing. More and more of the revenue growth is coming from third-party payers as opposed to Medicare. And they charge third-party commercial payers about 2 to 3 times what they would charge Medicare. And so you can already see the volume growth is decelerating, and they're making it up on pricing by getting third-party payers. That's got to come to an end at some point. And you already see just today the beat and raise has been faded by the market. So it's not, you know, we don't really consider that something sustainable. And, you know, as the story comes to its conclusion, and we think the RUC committee will probably decide on the reimbursement of this, on the reimbursement rate around January time, that's when we'll get further clarity as to what the sustainable revenue stream of the business will be.
Thanks very much, David Cohen and Sam Adrangi of Kerrisdale Capital on iRhythm, and the ticker's IRTC. Thanks, gents.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks.